Jay in Kingston listening on our flagship Sportsnet 590, The Fan. You're going to be the leadoff man tonight on Blue Jays Talk. Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess, Mike, I guess we need robots. I think I have to be with you there for sure. This was probably one of the worst officiated games, but it just seems like to me every time we play in Yankee Stadium or in Boston, it just seems like teams, they always get more calls. I don't know why that is. Do you know a reason for that?
Well, they're the Yankees.
Yeah, but I mean, like, is that really fair? I mean,
no,
I
of course it's not
the
fair.
Yankees, but I mean, shouldn't the game be like done in umpired fairly? Just because they're the Yankees doesn't mean that they have to get every call.
Oh, they don't get every call. They get they get a lot of call.
Yeah, I mean,
but yeah, it's not fair. It's also not fair that, you know, in basketball,
right?
The longer you've been in the game, the more likely you are to draw a foul and that sort of thing. It's not fair that in hockey, certain guys don't get penalties called on them. Officiating's not fair. As long as human beings are going to do the officiating,
sure,
it's not going to be fair. So robots is the way to go. I agree with you.
Well, on the positive point here, I thought Redmond did a great job for the Jays when he came in. I am concerned about D'Honor Navarro's catching. I'm not too sure. Like, I think defensively, I don't know. I know he calls a game and all. I mean, today he missed a couple of balls. I mean, he missed a few runs.
Jay, I got to let you go because your phone keeps cutting out like every fifth word. But I appreciate the call. And, yeah, D'Honor Navarro did not come to Toronto with a reputation of being a great defensive catcher. He's not a great defensive catcher. He's not wonderful at blocking balls in the dirt. He doesn't have an especially great arm. He is here for his offense and for the fact that he doesn't strike out. He puts a ball in play. And he's done reasonably well offensively, dealing with a couple of injuries throughout the season. So, you can't expect D'Honor Navarro to be a gold glover back there. I know people, for some reason, expected it. Just like for some reason, people expected Jose Reyes to be a gold glove shortstop when he came over here. I don't know why, but neither of those things are true. And this is what you do. You know, Navarro has his issues behind the plate, both in game calling and in his defense. You hope he makes up for it with the offense. And so far, they're 10 games over 500. They're 3.5 games up in first place with him as the primary catcher. Chris is in Stony Creek. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk, Chris.
Mike, thanks for welcoming me on the show and a great broadcast as always, brother.
Thank you.
You know, I hate, like you said, buddy, I hate to rip on the umpires, but like when you're calling those strikes, those low strikes and those outside strikes, and you're giving them to a man today, the guy's unhittable already, and then you add that in there, it's like, why even walk up there with a bat? You know what I mean? You should just walk back to the dugout, you know, not to be so facetious, you know?
No, you know, you're right. He doesn't need the help.
He doesn't need it, bro, and it makes it almost impossible. But, you know, another thing, too, I was going to say, and you kind of alluded to at the beginning, you know, it is the second time I've called, and I don't mean to tell everybody to relax, but, you know, like, as kind of iffy as the Jays have played over these last couple of games of the stretch, like the teams have only gained two games on them, you know. So people just need to understand, and I agree with your point that you made on Sid's show a couple of days ago. Like, I think in this division, I think the Jays' biggest competition is themselves, man. You know, if they can just, you know, play well, I think the Jays are going to be okay. I think that their biggest competition is themselves, and as Jays fans, we just need to understand, you know, that's why sometimes when teams get 13 games back like the Rays are and there's still, you know, 100-plus games to go, you know, that's still a long way to come back, 13 games, man. So people just need to come down and understand that only two games, they've only made two games up on us, man. Still a lot of baseball to play.
Yeah, there's 90 games to go after today. I appreciate the call.
Thanks, Mike.
90 games left. And if the Blue Jays are going to be a 90-game winner this season, which is swell, right? 90 wins, swell. There are 90 games to go, and the Blue Jays are going to lose another 41 of them in a 90-win season. Now, you hope the bats start to get going. It looked like they were starting to Sunday in Baltimore. They had 12 hits. Today was Tanaka. I'm very interested to see what happens in these next couple of games. But again, same thing I said when they went into Baltimore and people were starting to flip out because they lost the first game. Even if they get swept by the Yankees in this series, they're still in first place. It's important to remember that. Kevin is in Morden, Manitoba, listening on 1290 out there. Thanks for the call, Kevin.
Yeah, no problem.
Go ahead.
My question is about Marcus Stroman, and I'm wondering if he's going to perhaps have an innings limit, and if we're at this same point, you know, leading the league by three, our division by three games, are we going to, like, kibosh innings limit, or are we going to look towards getting another pitcher possibly?
Well, if it's late in the season, you can't get another pitcher, right? You got to make that decision
like
by the end of
the deadline, I mean.
Well, you're not going to know if he's knocking on the door. I don't think Marcus Stroman has a specific innings limit this season. But this is a guy who they used out of the bullpen in the minor leagues, his first year at least. And I'm going to take a look and see what his professional high in innings pitched is, because you do want to be careful. But for me, I'm a little tired of being careful. He threw 111 and two-thirds innings last year in 20 starts in Double A. So, quote unquote, you can safely increase that to about 145 this year. But, you know, they've been doing these safe increases with guys, and their arms have exploded. And they don't know who's – there's no way to know who's going to get hurt and who doesn't, who isn't. There's no way to know that what you're doing is going to keep a guy healthy. So I'm not saying screw all the limits, but screw most of them.
You don't think that they would do kind of like what the Nationals did with Strasburg, do you?
No, I don't think that they would do that. That was set out from before. I mean, they might. You never know. They might shut him down, and it would be a shame. But hopefully what they'll do is, if he continues to pitch well and deserve to be in this rotation, and so far he does, you would think that they would find him off days when they can and try to keep him fresh, maybe skip him a couple of times to make sure that you're not running into trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with Morrow, where's Morrow now? Morrow's just coming back from the DL, right?
Morrow is going to play catch on Friday. It will be the first time he's thrown a baseball since he came out of that game. So we should know more by the weekend on how Brandon is and whether or not he's going to need season-ending surgery. They hope he won't, but that would be a nice little kick in the pants, if you will, for the Blue Jays. A little kickstart for them if they were to get him back in late July. Thanks for the call. Blue Jays lose it 3-1 to the New York Yankees in the first of a three-game series. Kelly is in Collingwood, listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Kelly, welcome to the program. First of all, how's everything up there after the storm this afternoon?
Yeah, I drove through Angus and I had to pull over, and I've driven through there for 10 years, and like I know every driveway, and I was scared to my life. And then when I got home, I see pictures of friends texting me and stuff of their houses ripped off. There's blocks of no shingles on the roofs, honest to God, and wood missing. And it's like unbelievable.
Hope everybody up there is okay.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to lose track here. Ghost, it got sent down today.
There's
correct?
No T in his name. Ghost.
Sorry,
that's
got
okay.
sent down today. Correct.
Yeah, he just got like 10 minutes ago.
Is that not the best center fielder in the Blue Jays history? That's what you said.
Defensively, absolutely.
And they send him down.
Well, yeah, he has 4 hits in the last 3 weeks.
Well. How do you send down the best center fielder in Blue Jays history? I thought that was Devon White.
Devon White was really, really good.
okay, that's the best in Blue Jays history.
Well, that's your opinion.
Not Jose Goes.
Mine is that
And you toot him as that.
Jose Goes?
Sorry, Goes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think you're getting a little too hung up on something, Kelly.
Not really. Just you saying he's the best center fielder
defensive,
in Blue Jays history.
Defensive.
And I feel that's
defensive.
Devon White.
Okay, you're entitled to feel that way.
Well, don't you?
No, because I would have said it if I did. Don't you think?
Well, who is the best center fielder in Blue Jays history?
The best defensive center fielder I have ever seen play for the Blue Jays is Anthony Goes.
You know what? I appreciate that. That's your opinion. And you know what? That's awesome. Really. I hope he starts to hit.
I hope he starts to hit, too, because, boy, he would be a tremendous weapon if he did. I really hope he starts to hit. He's only 23 years old. Too early to write him off. Russ is in Jersey listening on Sportsnet590.ca. Were you at the game today, Russ?
No, I was like you. I just thought I knew what was going to happen tonight, and I didn't want to watch that, and I got a little excited when obviously Reyes hits the homer, and then, you know, they had some good at-bats early in the game, and they had his pitch count up, I think, like 50 through the first, three innings,
yep.
And they had some chances, but they just, you know, Navarro couldn't get the big hit, and this guy's just, that split finger is just so hard to hit, because, you know, as a hitter, it probably looks like it's going to be a strike, and then it just drops, and he just can't hit it. You know, it was tough.
And with two strikes, it's impossible to lay off that pitch.
It's tough.
Yeah, that's why he gets 10 strikeouts all the time.
Yeah, it's tough. And, you know, they laid off a couple times some of the hitters, but he came back with it, and he got the guy to chase. About Stroman, you know, I really like the, you know, I know he didn't have a good game tonight, obviously, and his family was there. But I like the way he throws the ball. I think he just needs to get something that a little bit for the left-handed hitters, the ball that, you know, is a little bit away from the hitters. He kept on coming in and in and in and trying to get the left-handed hitter, you know, the pitch away from the left-handed hitter, which I didn't see him go that much tonight.
I think it's easy to overreact about one game when you see a 12-pitch at-bat, an 11-pitch at-bat, and the Yankees really driving his pitch count up. But he was fine, better than fine, his first three starts. So hopefully he just rebounds off this. There's no serious flaw in his game that was exposed tonight. He just had a rough night against some pretty good hitters.
Yeah, you hope they win tomorrow night because it'll be, you know, they've split last series, but it's three series in a row. I know you said we only lost, you know, two games in the standing, but we're up, I think, if I'm correct, the Jays are up two in the loss column right now over the Yankees. That's what I always look at because the other stuff is not in the Blue Jays' control. So two in the loss column. Hopefully Burley can come out and throw a good one tomorrow night and we can get back on the winning track.
That would be swell. Thank you, Russ. Always appreciate it. The Blue Jays have lost 14 games in a row in the Bronx. So this is a bit of a problem. It would be lovely if they could pick up a win tomorrow. I don't necessarily worry about a loss column stuff because it's games in hand and you're assuming that they're going to win all the games in hand. I think that's a strong assumption. So they're 3.5 games up, period. Donnie is in Mississauga listening on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Donnie, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, that's great.
Hey, yeah, I think so. Well, let's see. Jury's still out, I guess.
I guess so. I got to say that ump tonight was God awful. It's not even that last at bat. I'm just watching there and I'm just waiting for him to throw a strike. I just want him to throw it in that little box above the white plate. Not a single ball even touched the line. It was so absolutely brutal.
I have to say, and I'm not, you know, I got a lot of this on Twitter too after the game. I'm looking at the box right now. The first pitch might have been 1/16th of an inch outside. The last pitch was probably right touching the bottom of the strike zone. So it's not as horrible as a lot of people are making it out to be.
They should adjust the strike zone on the TV then, because, you know, I'm pretty sure all of Toronto who's watching the game was like, what's going on, man? This is a little bit ridiculous. But just out of curiosity, do you think that maybe somebody should have, Kratz should have pinch hit for Ghost there?
No, I don't think so. I mean, first of all, can't complain about the at bat that Ghost had, right? He did get four balls thrown to him. They just weren't
six,
called
maybe.
That, right? Maybe six. He didn't swing at any bad pitches or anything. So I think Ghost did a fine job with his at bat. Eric Kratz does have the power to hit it the other way, not necessarily to hit it the other way. Maybe that's why.
He just has power, though.
He has power, though, but it's, Yankee Stadium's not an easy place to hit home runs in if you're a right-handed pull hitter.
Yeah, for right-handed.
But Robertson does have reverse splits, so maybe there's something to be said for that. And if Ghost gets pinch hit for, then fine, you have to play Steve Tolleson in the outfield. It's not the end of the world.
That's right.
It's certainly an issue to be debated. I don't think it was glaring, but Eric Kratz is your power bat there.
Right. And the last thing is two quick things. I guess they're kind of related. But Navarro, I think because of JP and CB's historically bad season last year, I think he got a little bit too much. There's quite a bit of excitement, I should say, for the replacement.
Right.
But personally, I think I would, from what I've seen, and I guess you can't go off the short amount of at bats that he's had this season, I'd say defensively, you're looking, subpar to average. And offensively, I know he's hitting .261. You said he had a couple injuries. He's OPSing something like .650 or something like that. So far, he's just kind of a guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't know that we had any reason to expect him to be more than that.
Yeah, I know. It was just like that whole narrative at the beginning of the season. It's kind of irritating. And that just ties into my last point. With the Jays offense struggling so much, I think what it comes down to is if you compare the top four batters to the bottom five, it's very difficult to score runs. I mean, you got Francisco Ghost, who are the other two hitters?
Lauri Navarro,
and there's, which haven't really proven too much, what I mean? And then you have one more who I'm just, Kawasaki. So you have Kawasaki, you have Ghost, and you have Francisco, who you could argue are 4A kind of players, or, you're not too sure of them. You have Lauri, who's, not quite where he is as a major leaguer yet. And then Navarro, who had, kind of 80 at bats or so last season that were above average, but still, you know what I mean? So it puts a lot of pressure on the top four guys, that's all I'm saying.
They're third in the major leagues in scoring runs.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying that...
That's important to remember that, even after 10 games where they've been pretty awful offensively.
You're right, but that's, I'd say, largely responsible because of the top four batters.
I would...
Francisco as well, actually.
I would disagree with that. Lind as well, who's had an amazing season. It's tough to remember when they're struggling so much. They're third in the major leagues in scoring runs. Omar is in Montreal listening on the MLB radio app. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling.
No problem. I was actually calling because obviously the Jays are having a hard time scoring runs, but, a lot of people are blaming the umpires and whatnot. And obviously, the Yankees have got a lot of good calls. Well, I mean, blown calls for the past few years. But, we have to blame the Jays offense a little bit because it seems as though, every time the bases are loaded or there's a runner on second, they just can't seem to bring that runner home. So
tonight, yes.
I'm sorry?
Tonight, that's true.
Yeah, exactly. And as you said earlier, even though it's been only going on for 10 games, it still seems that, there's something missing. Maybe Rasmus coming tomorrow will help the lineup, but I don't know. There's just something, there's something missing in the lineup. Maybe guys aren't, going on base as much as they should or something.
Well, yeah, I think that's exactly what's missing, Omar, and I appreciate the call. Yes, guys are not getting on base as often as they should. That's exactly the problem of these last 10 games, and it's a problem that's bound to correct itself because the hitters are much too good to be this bad for much longer. Kyle in Barrie, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike, I just wanted to talk about Anthony Ghost quickly here. Basically, with the last out there and his at bat there, just wondering why the approach maybe or your thoughts on why his approach has changed. You gave the stats basically on his average for the first 17 games versus the last 17. I don't think I've seen as much of the small ball game that he was playing before and having a lot of success with. So I think tonight was a perfect example with a runner on third. You try and make something happen where instead of, you know, him trying to swing away, he looks at two pitches right, you know, maybe outside the strike zone, but at least that would be in two attempts at a bunt, right?
So with two out, you're going to try for a bunt when you're the tying run? It doesn't seem to make sense to me.
If you look at how he was swinging for the past games, right, it's probably try it with.
I've seen him try in at least one at bat a game to bunt for a hit. Even these last few games where he's been hitting so terribly.
Okay.
In these last 14 games.
Do you think the approach has changed?
No, I don't think his approach has changed at all. I just think his success level has changed. And he had a really good 2 weeks, and he's had a really horrible 2 weeks.
Okay, so yeah, the devotion, like, you know, was in order, and hopefully Colby can come back and do something. And then obviously don't flip out, you know, if we lose three here, you know, it's 1.5 games up on the Yankees. It might scare a lot of people, but then you don't know what the next series happens, and hopefully the offense turns on for when they come back to the Rogers Center.
Right, exactly. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. People are flipping out right now about the Kansas City Royals, who beat the Detroit Tigers tonight to move into first place in the AL Central. Kansas City Royals have a half-game lead in the American League Central Division. Hearty mazel tov to them. People are already tweeting me about, say, well, if the Royals make the playoffs, the Blue Jays will have the longest drought. You know what? The Royals are a half game up. They are two games behind the Blue Jays. There's no reason to start, you know, going so nuts. And I appreciate what Kansas City is doing. It's wonderful. But if you're up on Kansas City and you're down on the Blue Jays, just remember the Jays' lead in their division is three games bigger. The Blue Jays have a better record than the Kansas City Royals and take a step back off the ledge. Jays lose it 3-1 to the New York Yankees. We'll be back to get you set for tomorrow night's game and more. It's a Honda postgame show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. That's going to do it for us. Blue Jays lose it 3-1 to the New York Yankees. As a result, they are an horrific 10 games over 500 and 3.5 games ahead of New York in the American League East. Colby Rasmus has been called up. Anthony Ghost, not Jose Ghost, Anthony Ghost has been farmed out, back option down to Buffalo. And he had a hard time, again, 7 for his last 44, including tonight's game. Colby Rasmus is a center fielder. There never should have been a question about that. Baltimore wins 7-5 in Tampa. Blue Jays continue the series tomorrow night. We're on at 7 Eastern for a 7:10 first pitch, even though the Yankees always say 7:05. It'll be Mark Burley against Chase Quitley. You've been listening to Home Hardware. Blue Jays baseball brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Sportsnet Radio Network. For Jerry Howe, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, and Igor Enriquez, I'm Mike Wilner. Bye-bye from Toronto.